We're going to be talking about grace friends. In other words, how to be a true friend. We see Aquila and Priscilla come along the side of Paul and company and really minister to them and be a friend to them in time of need. As some of you have seen on Facebook, we were blessed to sell some land in Heard County and buy some more in Carroll County. And there's a little lake on this property, and my dad actually has a bigger track hole. I've got a baby track hole compared to his. But anyway, the lake needs cleaning around. And so the other morning, I was coming up to work at the land, and I had a little bit of time before I had to get to another appointment. So I was always, as normal, I was in a hurry. And I was coming up 27 from Franklin, and just before I got to Rootville, I saw a car coming the other way, and you could tell they had pulled off, not like just stopped to be stopping, but it was kind of on an angle, like they had run out of gas. Well, as I went by, I saw two ladies get out of the car. Now, here I am in a hurry, and I sense a little nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, you need to turn around and go back and check on them. And I said, well, there's a bunch of cars coming from behind them. And I said, somebody's going to stop. But God interrupted my schedule. Y'all know he has permission to do that, right? We sometimes don't think he does, but he does. But I got to the red light and I said, okay, Lord, I'm in a hurry. But anyway, I went back, and sure enough, the ladies were out of gas, and they were fixing to start walking down the road, and I didn't see a gas can in their hand, so I pulled over, and I said, what's going on? And they said, well, we're out of gas. And I said, well, where are you headed? And she said, down to the store, which is about a mile away. And I said, do you have a gas can? And they said, no. And I said, well, come on, get in. She said, well, maybe the guy down there will loan me one. So I said, y'all get in, let's go down and see. And he didn't have a gas can, but he sold them, naturally. So I purchased them a gas can and got some gas and took them back and put gas in her car, gave her a 20, and I said, now go down there and fill it up. And I said, well, that would be enough. And she's in tears, and she really opened the door for something that I like to give. I was raised by a family right over here that are givers, and I'm not boasting, but I like to give. I'm not a good receiver, though, and that's not a plus, by the way. We kind of humbly use that phrase and say, well, I'm just not a good receiver. Don't boast about that. That's not a good thing. You know why? Because your Father in heaven wants to give you, he has given you every spiritual blessing. He's given you everything that you need in Jesus Christ. And we're not good receivers as Christians. We're good at trying to do more so we can be more pleasing to the Lord, but we don't understand who we are and what Christ has done. And so this lady, she said, well, I'm going to do something for you. And she said, will you let me come clean your house? I said, no. Will you let me pay you back? No. So you know where I headed with the story. I said, you're a lot like I am. I said, I'm not a good receiver. But I said, God's been teaching us down at our church. I didn't tell her that's all we teach is about who we are in Jesus, about the grace of God. But anyway, I said, God's really been teaching us down at our church, about how to be a receiver. And I said, this is called grace. I said, be a receiver here. I'm not wanting anything in return from you. I just felt led of the Lord to stop. He's given me everything I have, and this is a small token just to show you I love you and I care for you. And I said, if my wife or my daughters are on the side of the road, I pray God will move on somebody else to stop and help them, you see. So anyway, it was just a chance to just to be a witness and to love on those people. And so, of course, this message is all about grace friends. Now let's start, we're going to look at starting in chapter 18 of Acts. And let's just read a few verses here in the beginning. Then Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had left Italy because Claudius Caesar deported all Jews from Rome. Now I want to read a little background from a commentary about this just to begin with, to lay a little bit of groundwork. It says, we are told in these two verses that Aquila was a Jew that had been born in Pontus who had, at some time, migrated from Rome. So he is a Jewish man. Priscilla, on the other hand, bears a Latin name, indicating that she's probably Roman by birth and possibly a Gentile. Now, something else here that really jumped out at me, they were a family that were run out of their hometown. You see, Claudius Caesar, he didn't care for any other religion that wasn't Rome in origin. In other words, he tried to run the Jews out and so forth. And here he had run this family out of town. Is that adversity, you think, in life? If somebody comes up and says, you're not welcome here, you leave and you pick up your household and you leave. So that, just keep that in mind. They were kicked out of Rome, but they ended up in Corinth. Now, let's continue the story as we look at verse 3 and 4. Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers just as he was. It'd be like me leaving to go to Africa, and God brings me beside of a swim pool installer, okay? Paul was a tent maker. They were tent makers, so very interesting. They had a lot in common, because, you know, that's the first thing we men asked, right? Well, what do you do? That's, what do you do, okay? You see the law based in that, by the way, just curious. Verse 4, each Sabbath found Paul at the synagogue trying to convince the Jews and Greeks alike. Now, something powerful about this relationship, Aquila and Priscilla ended up being the encouragement and help that Paul needed when they could have been the recipient of encouragement. We don't know how long it was before they had been kicked out of Rome and sent there, but they could have had the mentality that I probably would have had. I probably would have been going through my Carlton Rivers pity party and saying, you know, I can't believe I got kicked out of town and we're out here all alone. We don't know anybody. Why in the world would God allow this to happen to me? You ever asked that question to God? Sure you have. You certainly have heard others ask that question, and I guarantee you have at one point in time. You might have been too religious to vocalize it, right, or too good of a Christian. Well, I just don't doubt God. Well, yes, you do. Come on. We all have, I think, at one point in time. But self-focus, now listen to this statement, self-focus will normally, if not always, bring flesh results. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean flesh results like worry, anxiety. The more you focus on you and your circumstances and why is this happening to me and why did God do this and I just don't understand it, and man, it brings about worry, anxiety, am I right? And ulcers and everything else. But many feel condemned and alienated by God when God is not stepping in to do something or fix their problem. Now, many feel alienated from God because they think God's mad at them. They think that God is, that they're away from God when they sin and they hadn't confessed that sin to break down that wall, to get back right with God. See, that's what I was taught in church most of my life. And now I realize that wall of sin was torn from top to bottom. Every sin's been taken and removed. My behavior, my sinning or not, now listen, my sinning or not sinning has nothing to do with my right standing with God. And I'm telling you, that doesn't make me want to go out and sin and enjoy it at the same time. It humbles me when I blow it in sin now and I say, Lord, thank you that that didn't surprise you. You saw it at the cross. And I'm still just as right with you before I sinned as I am right now. Now, I want to flip that. Assuming you've got that down, and most of you have been coming here, I think have that down. You may not live it out all the time. You still feel alienated and condemned when you sin, but you're not. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation, period. It's kind of like Noah and the ark. I heard Joseph Prince say this one time. I kind of liked it. The ark is a picture of being in Christ. I'm sure that Noah, every now and then, when an elephant stepped on his toe, he probably screamed out a curse word before he realized he was in Christ. But you see, he sinned, but he was still in the ark. That'll have to sink in a second. You need to understand that when you sin and blow it. God's not mad at you. You're still in him. He's already dealt with that sin. He loves you. He hates what sin does to us. But he's not beating you on the head when you blow it. Thank God this old boy would have bruises all the time. Y'all would too. All right. Now, let me flip the switch here just a second. Thinking about alienation and not necessarily condemned, or maybe so. Let's say you're going through a difficult time. You understand that you're not condemned as far as your sins and so forth are concerned. But you're a Christian, you're growing in grace, and you believe and trust in God that He is your life, that He is your supply. He's going to take care of you. You hear me preach that. You hear Philip preach that. And you believe that. However, you're going through a very difficult time. You're seeing some negative things happen, and you've been saying and believing and confessing and claiming and doing all you know to do, but nothing is happening. Do you begin to pull away from that close feeling, and do you begin to feel alienated a little bit? God is maybe not as close as I thought. If you don't, I praise God. I battle that a lot, especially in the past few years. Because after becoming a grace preacher and understanding a little bit more about grace, I went through two of the most difficult things in my life. Financially, as well as this angel story. Most of you know that. And I'm telling you what, God didn't step in and come in on a white horse and just take care of that thing in a few weeks, and not even a few months. And I began to say, Lord, am I teaching this wrong? If I'm in you and you are my supply, why am I lacking? Don't y'all just love a preacher that's real? I tell you, I'm just telling you the truth. I battle this kind of stuff. This is day-to-day living, okay? Let me show you something on the screen. And it's in my book, and God really taught me something here. Condemnation and alienation leads to fear, to stress, to sickness, sin, and death. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? They sinned and they blew it and they hid themselves, the Bible says. They felt condemned. Were they condemned, by the way? No. God didn't tell them to run off and hide. He actually went looking for them and said, where are you? Now, God knew where they were. He's God. He said, who told you you were naked? You see, he listened to the enemy. The enemy says when you sin and blow it that you're not right with God, you're out of fellowship with God until you confess that and get it back right. He says that's what the enemy says, and that causes you to feel condemned. It causes you to feel alienated from God, which will lead to stress, worry, anxiety, and that will tear your body up, folks. Now, let me just tell you what the World Health Organization says, a non-Christian entity, okay? The secular field recognizes this truth here. Let's see this quote from the World Health Organization. The WHO defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Stress leads to a poor state of mental and social well-being and is an important element that is apparently responsible for an estimated 75% of all illnesses. Stress. Question. Back up a slide, Christina. All right. If stress, which is at the tail end or in the middle of this little chart, if that causes sin, a sickness, and so forth, would it make more sense to back, not try to just deal with stress, would it make more sense to go back to the beginning and jerk the root cause of some of this out of the way? You see what I'm saying? If condemnation and feeling alienated from God, even as a Christian, you don't feel condemned because you know you're not condemned, but you feel alienated from God because you're going through difficult trials and circumstances that are causing you to feel alienated from God. That's going to continue to lead to fear, to stress. Am I right? At least that's what I've experienced. Well, why don't we back up and let's just take some of this root cause out of the way, this alienation. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of storms like Aquila and Priscilla being kicked out of their own town, they didn't sit around focusing on their lack. They focused on the love and grace of God. I'm not sure when they were saved in the process, when they came to Christ, but they clearly were being thrusted by the Holy Spirit to go and compelled to be and minister to Paul. If we fail to focus on the love and grace of God, you'll fall back into thinking God isn't interested in healing me. He isn't interested in solving my financial problems. That's what I thought for a little while. He isn't interested in restoring my relationships. Therefore, I give up and I just handle it apart from God and I go back to the way I used to think. Well, God just sometimes wants to take care of us and sometimes He doesn't. I don't know why. Am I right? Isn't that kind of where we fall back into? I still pray for God to take care of this, but it's just not His will for Him to take care of this. Wow.
Where did that thought come from?
Wow. Now listen, since starting the grace journey, as I said, I've gone through some very difficult times. You know what I had to do, though? I start feeling alienated, but I said, that's not right. I kept coming to hear old Carlton Rivers preach on Sunday. I kept hearing the Princes and Steve McVeighs and the Phillips later on and when he came around. I kept listening. I kept hearing. That's why it's important to be here to hear the truth. But I'm telling you, because you'll fall back into the old mentality of religion and so forth and thinking that God really doesn't care about you. Wow. But I chose to continue to grow in grace, and I heard over and over again that I'm God's beloved and that He really is working on my behalf even when I can't see it happening. That's where faith comes in. Anybody can high-five and praise God when everybody's healthy, when nobody's dying, when the paycheck's coming in. Anybody can high-five God and praise Him in that time, but it's when the bottom drops out, it's when the grace and love of God will sustain you, even when you can't see Him working. But I'm telling you, you've got to labor to enter the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Hebrew writer talked about. Look at this statement. Had I not been preaching and hearing the grace message continually, I would not have walked in victory in the midst of the storm. I didn't say I walked in perfect victory. I faltered. I had some doubts, as many of you probably do right now. But the practical side of this teaching really came home to me Thursday morning when I was really going back over it and finalizing this message. Look at this next quote. God wants to encourage and lift you up in the midst of life's difficulties. Now, here's how He might do it, though. He might call you to be an Aquila and Priscilla to come alongside of somebody else in the midst of your own problems. Sometimes, as the old saying goes, we miss the tree for the forest. I mean, that forest and that mountain of the problem is so big in my own life that I'm so consumed about what is God going to do? How's He going to take me out of this? How's He going to fix this? I'm telling you, usually God doesn't fix your problems the way you think, so you need to quit trying to figure it out. That's what I found to be true. He usually will fix it in a way that I did not see that coming. I didn't see Him put me back in the pool business to take care of me financially. We've had more business we could get to this year. I'm just not boasting. I'm boasting. Yes, I am. I'm boasting in God. But yet, just 2 or 3 years ago, I was thankful for the next week's paycheck. I'm very serious. That's how tough it got. I don't know what you're going through right now, but God does. You've been praying, you've been believing, but you're not seeing Him work. And some of you might be feeling alienated a little bit today. I just want you to know that He has not left you. He has not forgotten right where you are. He wants you to cuddle you and love you. Maybe He's bringing you to that place that I never will forget. Some of you haven't heard this, but I'm going to say it right quick. I was about to lose our house over in Reed Alley, and the payment was coming out, but the money was not in the bank, and God took me to Romans 8. Maybe you just need to read Romans 8, the latter part of Romans 8 especially. And He said, what can separate you from My love? It says, what if infirmities come? What if trials come? What if difficulties come? What if you lose your house? It's like God was telling me, what if you lose your house? What if they talk about you? Well, the preacher can't even pay his bills. He said, "Has anything changed between me and you?" And I tell you what, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I had a peace. I just sat back in my chair, and I tell you, I just didn't care if I lost that house. And God just brought me to the end of myself. And I and Dad, and actually Jill and Dad, they needed me to do some things right after. They didn't know this, probably the story this close. They needed some help. And I tell you, I was just thankful for whatever God could give us to give us some income. And then I finally sold a piece of equipment. Then a few months later, not next week, a few months later, we finally sold the house. And so God was just teaching me a powerful principle. One of the reasons he taught me that was so I can teach you here. I don't know who it is, but some of you are struggling right now. I just sense it. If you're not, maybe you're going to need this next week. That no matter what you see physically in your circumstances, your God has not forgotten you. He loves you so much that he gave his son so that you could be in him, not just to come be a little part of your life. No, you're in Jesus. You're in Christ. You just don't know it, and you don't understand it. I don't understand all of what that means. My goodness, that's what growing in grace means. That we grow in the understanding of how much we're loved and how much we're forgiven. And did you just keep focusing on that? When you start worrying, you start seeing the circumstances, you start seeing the physical pain, you start seeing the relationship being not restored, or whatever it is you're not seeing God do, you jump back to who you are and you focus on the reality that you're His beloved. And you be consumed with that and grow in that. And say, "Lord, teach me who you are. Tell Him you're hurting. He knows it anyway." Say, "Lord, I'm hurting. I don't know what you're doing." But don't stop there. But say, "Lord, I'm going to continue to grow in grace and trust you, even when I don't understand." A couple of things I want to leave you with. Christine, we're not going to get to most of it, and that's okay. I do want to show you the next two or three slides. What do you do when you don't see God working? Stay immersed in and under grace teaching. It doesn't have to be me. There's some grace teachers, if you don't know who they are, on TV, online, anywhere you want to go with a computer, you can find it. Okay? Keep listening. Keep growing. If God has given you an opportunity and you happen to be serving somewhere, you keep serving. You keep listening to the Lord. Yes, you're going to doubt, but my friends, He cares for you. What does the Bible say about those cares that we're so concerned with? What are we to do with those thoughts and those anxieties? Cast them on the Lord. You know, hey, just a thought. When the Bible says to cast your cares on the Lord because He cares for you, you know what that's in the context of? It's in the context of resisting the devil. He says right after that, cast your cares on the Lord because He cares for you. You know what? Satan has no offense when you are casting your cares on the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows if he can get you to worrying, he can get you to struggling and the anxiety, he can whip you. That's why God said, if you want to resist the devil, just keep casting your cares on the Lord. Wow. Some of you get that a little later. Number one, stay immersed in and under grace teaching. Number two, keep an open heart and mind to be used of the Holy Spirit to bless others in the midst of your own problems. What about that? Do you think that's important? To keep an open mind, open spirit, saying, "Lord, you know what? Yes, I've got this going on. I'm struggling, but Lord, there's somebody struggling a whole lot worse than I am. Maybe you want me to be a part, me to be used to go and be a blessing to them." Young people, I hope when y'all discuss back there a little bit, you have doors of opportunity just like we do at school. You got friends that come and their home life is horrible. They're struggling. They're putting on a front. They might be the class clown or the most trouble cut up kid there. that could be a cry for help. Maybe God wants to use you to befriend somebody that nobody else will befriend. It may be to stop and help somebody alongside the road. It may be somebody at your place of employment. It may be the guy standing on the street corner needing a handout. Say, well, preacher, I just don't think we ought to do that. Well, listen, there's times I don't do that. Yeah, they may go buy drugs with that money. I don't know. I'm not saying you need to help everybody. I don't. But you know who I listen to? I said, Lord, if I need to do something for them, you let me know. I don't want to become an enabler. That's what we're doing sometimes when we keep handing out. And I understand all of that. But however, God in His wisdom knows where they're at. Now, you can't black and white every situation, right? So don't have this clouded mentality that I'll never do that. Hey, never say never. I said I'd never go back to pool business, Daddy, but you say where I'm at. I said I'd never preach, too. You say where I'm at. So never say never, okay? God will take that never and turn it into to what it is you said you wouldn't do. Just be sensitive. Be open to the Holy Spirit's nudging. That's all He wants to do. He wants you to just tell others about Him and show His kindness in millions of ways out there. I do want to close with a couple of little stories. Just so you know, people, Christians, we're all preachers, by the way. You're right? You didn't realize that, did you? You're all missionaries. You have the message of Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. But you know, preachers and missionaries, which is you and all of us, need encouraging. After Israel's defeat at Ai, Joshua said this. I want you to see this. Joshua had seen miracles, but yet he was defeated. Look at what he said in Joshua chapter 7, verse 7. Next slide. He said, "Alas, O Lord, why did you ever bring this people over to Jordan? Only to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites? To destroy us, if only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan." That's what I'm thinking sometimes. He led me to quit my job at my previous church, and then I didn't see him providing, and I said, "Lord, I'd been better off staying over there." I knew he led me to leave. Elijah had a duel with the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. Many of you know that story. He saw God do a miracle before his very eyes, yet when he heard about Queen Jezebel wanting to kill him, he got so depressed he wanted to die. Look at 1 Kings 19, verse 4. He said, "It's not enough, O Lord, to take my life, for I'm not better than my father's." And he basically got so depressed, he literally wanted to die. We see examples in Moses, we see examples in David, and yes, old even Paul needed encouragement. Christine, if you'll forward over about six slides to verse 18, I want you to see the end verse, the end of actually verse 18. This talks about Paul going from place to place, and so forth. But look at the last phrase on this verse, taking Priscilla and Aquila with him. I know Paul must have had doubts and discouragement. There are many people in our congregation, many in your family and your friends, many of your co-workers, young people, many of your friends at school, maybe even your teachers. They may be putting on a smile, but they're hurting. And how do you know who to minister to? That's where it talks about being sensitive to the grace of God and knowing who you are and being open and just saying, "Holy Spirit, use me today to just be a blessing to somebody." You know, God, you may be a Priscilla and Aquila who will come right along the side of somebody that's hurting and so forth. I know many of you have done that to Philip and me through some ups and downs of this grace teaching, and you know, this preaching's not popular from the religious crowd. We've been talked about from the pulpit, and I'm okay with that. I wasn't for a while because I want to be a people pleaser, right? God was purging me of that too. You're not going to walk and please the Lord and please people at the same time all the time. Y'all got that? If you think you are, you're on the wrong road. get off of that road and quit worrying about it. But as a result of the encouragement from the Lord, verse 19 talks about, in the rest of the chapter, Paul continued to other towns like Ephesus, Antioch, Galatia, and even visited the church back in Jerusalem. So I'm just telling you, you can't stay out there. And he was beaten and left for dead. He was thrown into prison and kicked out of town. I'm telling you, I just pray that by God's grace, if that happened to me here, I would be willing to continue on. I hope I would. I don't know. Wow. And I'm worried about somebody talking about me a little bit from the pulpit. I don't know what persecution is, you see. Okay, discussion time. Look at these. Do you find it hard to focus on growing in grace and being an encouragement to others in the midst of your own adversities? Why not? In Acts chapter 18, verse 26, Priscilla and Aquila heard Apollos preaching boldly in the synagogue, and they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. By the way, they called his hand on something that he was teaching wrong. What are some life lessons from this verse? Just a few things to get. Maybe you don't even want to talk about either one of these. Something else is on your heart. Some of you that are sitting by yourself, don't be afraid to join somebody else. Let's just talk and be real. How about that? All right? We'll be back in a few minutes. All right. I love this. Thank you, Brandon. Did you get them to talk? Sometimes they won't open up. Do you find it hard to focus on growing in grace and being encouragement to others in the midst of your own problems? Why or why not?
Your mama said it was because people were in pity parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all don't ever go to pity parties, do you? Or y'all throw them, right? Yeah. The problem is many don't come, and those that do come don't bring presents.
That's right.
Well,
yeah, I was hoping y'all might share.
Yeah, we'll share.
From the mouth of babes, right?
That's right.
What we actually came up with is that not only is it hard to share when we're going through our own adversities, it's hard to share, period.
Period.
If everything is going good, sometimes with our peers, it is hard to open our mouths and just say how good things are going for fear that they might reject the way that we feel about it. So,
okay.
And we're learning that it doesn't, even if you are too scared to, it doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. God loves you, regardless of what it is that you do. If you never tell anybody, it's okay. Jesus loves you. But if you do find the courage to do so and get the tools to do so, it also feels awesome. So that's the good thing, is that we're loved whether we do or we don't.
That's right.
But it feels awesome when you do. So
right. Okay.
That's it.
Awesome. Well, you know, you're not closer to God when you witness. You're not closer to God when you do good things for other people. You're close to God because of what Jesus did. The more you grow in that understanding, you just kind of now begin to do it just like me stopping. I used to be terrified. What am I going to say to them? I was thinking, that's an open door to witness. So I got to make sure I share the plan of salvation with them. And I'm telling you, I just didn't plan it out. I just said, Lord, you just... And he just opened the door when she started that deal about, I got to pay you back. And I thought, man, that's such a religious answer. Because we got to do for God because he's done for me. No, we do for God because what he's done for me, but I do it out of an overflow, not out of an obligation. You see, I serve now because I want to, not because God's going to give me some brownie points in heaven. Okay? So that's what's going to happen more of these young people. You see, you think, well, I can't share. Well, you're going to be shocked. Because the more you grow in grace and know who you are, you just find yourself doing it sometimes. And you think, man, I hear Angel doing it every now and then. I hear stories at school.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. On this question, anybody? Or the second one, either one? Or anything else God taught you through today? No pressure.
I'll toot your horn in there.
All right.
So Lee and Cindy are back, and he was sharing, just like he did the first few times I remember him coming, about how he went to church as a young person in Germany. And this was the environment that he had church in. It was a coffee house kind of church. So that we walked in here for the first time after kind of sort of following Carlton from his last church to here, he said he just about teared up because this is how he remembered church being. And he just went on and on about, well, we've been to a few other places since then, since we first came here, he says, and it's not good. The grace message is literally being torn down and called names by church people, not just church believers, but pastors, etc. So it's a tough road to hoe that we're sitting in. And when Carlton says we're being called names, I can tell you I've been called a few names, and this group has. And if you're coming here, chances are you may not be aware of it, but you're being called names. Okay? So we've got a guy here. If you want to hear his story, come ask him after church, and he'll explain to you how this works versus how that mentality of tearing down the grace message doesn't seem to work from his point of view. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Part two is, you know, John, as a matter of fact, John's name means Jehovah is gracious. So John's name is grace. And when John started his gospel, he said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus in John chapter 1. So I said there is only two doctrines. It's the doctrine of the law and the doctrine of grace. Grace is a person. So for those that fight against grace, they find themselves fighting against Jesus without even knowing it.
That's right.
And Jesus knocked the law doctrine completely down. But we're trying to employ an outdated system that doesn't work. The law didn't work in the Garden of Eden. The law didn't work at Mount Sinai, and it's not going to work now.
That's right. You can go out and brag on that grandbaby.
Yeah. He's learning grace. I tell him all the time. I was at Kroger's the other day, and I found a lost child, which is my gift in life, finding lost children. We headed to the service desk to, you know, have them call overhead. It took us about 10 minutes to, you know, find somebody to talk to. And then we saw the parent that he was supposed to be with coming down the aisle. You know, and I thought she would be so glad to see him. Instead, she jerked his little arm and she yelled at him. She never even said thank you to me because he was headed out the door when I stopped him. He was probably 4 or 5. And I thought how religion does that to us. When we return to the Father, religion says, oh, you know, jerks us around and yells at us and tells us how awful we were. When the Word says it, when the Father saw the lost child, how he embraced him and loved on him. And I saw that woman 10 minutes later heading out the door, still jerking that little kid's arm and still yelling at him. And I thought, how the church of religion does that to us. And that's the way religion tells us the Father does. Wow. And what the Father really says is that when we're lost and we return, to how he rejoices, that heaven rejoices, they throw a party and welcome us. It's not like, well, now you got to repent of all the things you did, and you know, you got to be sorry, and you got to be jerked around, and you're telling him. But it so grieved me to realize that that's what religion does, and grace says, welcome home. I'm glad you're found.
Amen. Wow. All right, this side of the room has been mighty quiet. Y'all, they got anything over there?
I'll say that. The second one there, you know, when we truly allow them, this is what I believe, because it's the truth. When we truly allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, it's not a pull and push. It is a slow, cool breeze that draws us. It's just this lovely, light breeze. And when Aquila and Priscilla talked to Apollos, it seemed they were sharing that breeze of a little more accuracy. Well, consider this. Have you considered this? And take a look at this. And the Holy Spirit in me It's gone to God. And there is absolutely nothing that can break that connection once we're there. My problem is staying on that, see, and learning how to live in a supernatural world, which I was just sharing with my friends here.
If you would pull up that verse 9 and 10. This is something that I didn't get to, but I did want to point this out. Where Paul was preaching this grace message and he was being persecuted, and God personally came to him one night. The Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, "Do not be afraid, speak out, don't be silent, for I am with you." Some of you here today, I was like I said, I just sense from the Holy Spirit that many, maybe more than one, are dealing with something pretty tragic or you're struggling. You need to understand that God says, don't be afraid, that I'm with you. Maybe nobody's attacking you like Paul, but you know, you're being attacked from other angles, from whatever it is that's causing you worry and anxiety. "For I am with you, no one will attack and harm you, for many people in this city belong to me." So Paul stayed there for the next year and a half in Corinth, by the way, teaching the Word of God. It's one thing for God to use me to encourage you. It's another thing when the Holy Spirit just does it directly. And He's doing that, by the way, if we'll just listen and open up. But yet He does use us to go to other people. And that's what we just want to be open to. Man, there's no more powerful witness than when you come along beside of somebody that's struggling and you just show them grace and love and mercy. And I tell you, you know, your ABCs of salvation doesn't work in that time usually. So you're dismissed. Thank you for being here.